laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Fox talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate,
what a toaster.
Oh, it's my mate,
what a toaster.
Yeah, yeah, it's my mate,
what a toaster.
Hello, welcome back. It is My Mate Bought a Toaster. It's not quite the full-blooded, the full-leaded My Mate Bought a Toaster this Thursday, though. What I'm going to be doing is dropping Toasted. This is the decaf version of the show where I don't bother with annoying celebrity guests. Instead, I just have my annoying wife. I just strolled straight into that.
Yeah, you just walked right in.
I did, really. So, Beth Morrie, hello.
Hi there.
We're doing this again. This is where we go through last week's episode with Nikki Byrne, which you have now listened to.
I have.
What pleased me so much is that you're such a fan of the show. You definitely didn't listen to this when I asked you to listen to it because you didn't realise we were recording this until yesterday. You definitely listened anyway because you're a fan of the show.
Yeah, and I didn't have a long walk planned that I needed to while away the time with something. So It wasn't really convenient for me.
Your thoughts on Nikki Byrne, please.
He's really nice.
I love him.
Like, he's really normal, like a normal human being.
Yeah, he's really unaffected. And the moment in the show that I found really interesting was talking about pop stars and mental health.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to get too close to saying it. But what he wanted to say was, get a grip. And you chose this life.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
I thought he was being very sensitive, much more sensitive than you are.
I'm putting words into his mouth. And it's a serious business. Like, as I said on the pod last week, awful things have happened to people who have been in boy bands. And I'm not going to belittle that. Obviously, it goes without saying. But talking about the mental health of people in boy bands, you heard him say, my dad kind of just said, control your mental health. That was his vibe, was like, which is quite a, goes against the current, you know, thing.
Yeah, but what I heard was two things. Firstly, he went straight to something his dad said, you know, so, which suggests he had a kind of really strong family base that he instantly went to his family.
Yeah.
And secondly, you talked about his sort of early football career and stuff.
Important.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's extraordinary that he's had so much success so early on and seems so unaffected and normal. But I did wonder if, you know, that early success and discipline of football just sort of taught him to get on with things.
Definitely.
In a way that other young men and women who find themselves in that position wouldn't be as prepared.
Also, he was a goalkeeper, and goalkeepers tend to have a screw loose.
Do they?
Yeah, because you're under so much pressure. You're the guy, you're the last person, the last man or woman standing in that game of football. And if you let the ball in, people look to you. It is a high, that's the most high pressure. Like, it's a known thing that goalies, just look at Jordan Pickford, don't worry about it, he plays for England.
Oh, you know, no, I remember him.
Crackers. They're
he
crackers.
Shouts a lot.
They're always characters. Bruce Grobbelaar back in the day, being a Liverpool fan. Like, they're always big characters. And Nikki is a big character with a fantastic shopping history. How is your Westlife knowledge? And I wonder as well, to you listening, how much you know about Westlife. Are you a big fan? Most of the people who listen to this show are women. And I discussed that with Nikki, like, what's the divide between men and women? And obviously, back in the day, it was mostly women. But it seems now to be pretty even.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't describe myself as a fan, but I wouldn't describe myself as not a fan. Mm. I mean, as you know, I listened to some quite weird music when I was younger.
Go on, French rap.
French rap.
Yeah.
I quite like sort of madrigals, Elizabethan music,
God,
stuff
it's
like
so
that.
Weird. Mine's not
obviously,
so weird. Who listens to? How do you?
Bach,
who listens to?
Bit of jazz. I like listening to dead people, and you know.
Right. So you're saying when Westlife have all carked it, you'll happily listen to them. So your passion for madrigals is just. It's got me into.
But I like those guys. The trouble is, I realised.
Do you know World of Our Own? We got a little.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Absolute
banger.
It is a banger.
But I realised that I'd slightly conflated Boyzone and Westlife in my head when he started saying about how Ronan used to manage them. And I was thinking, well, why would Ronan manage a band he was already in? And I realised that I was quite confused about which boy band.
Ronan Keating, for avoidance of doubt, was not.
Yes.
In Westlife. Ronan Keating did help to manage them. And the thing that we didn't really dwell on last week is the scale of their achievement. In the noughties, they got something like 10 number ones on the bounce.
Yeah.
They were absolute. Like, I remember being like, ugh, because obviously, you know, guitar indie band. You were obviously at the time listening to madrigals and medieval riffs, medieval pop with your retro pop. And I was listening to, you know, 90s the Smiths and Gene.
Did you ever copy out the lyrics to read to a girlfriend?
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
That was quite extraordinary. Yeah. Who was it? It was a golfer.
Luke Donald, the captain of the Ryder Cup team. I mean, that's a good question, isn't it? Maybe email in tom@toasterpod.com. When have you ever used the lyrics of a pop song to woo someone? And would it be... Which was it, World of Our Own? I can't remember which one it was.
I've done some research here because I was fascinated by this. Yeah. And I'm not being familiar with the track in question.
Would you ever copy out a madrigals, like a bit of Latin, to try and woo a lover? Because it wouldn't work with
Well,
me,
it wouldn't work with you, no. Would it? It was Swear It Again, which I wasn't familiar with.
I never want to see you cry. I'm going to have to say goodbye. Something like that?
Yeah. I looked up the lyrics and I must say, I don't know what he was thinking.
Interesting.
Because...
Okay. So which lyrics did the golf Ryder Cup captain Luke Donald use from, was it Swear It?
Well, this is the question. It's Swear It Again. But if he used the first two verses, they go, I want to know whoever told you I was letting go of the only joy that I've ever known. Girl, they were lying. Mm-hmm. Just look around and all of the people that we used to know have just given up. They want to let it go. But we're still trying.
Use that. I'm not using that.
It's kind of neggy and bleak.
Well,
like, what's he? He's saying everybody else is shit.
Yeah, it does drift into the golfer's mindset.
But we can keep giving it a slog.
But you know, Luke Donald, as captain of the Ryder Cup, does the thing where when he's creating the space that his golf team are going to be playing, it's interesting how sport has been a part of this.
Interesting.
When he's creating the space, the changing rooms for his golfers, they do this thing where they daub inspirational quotes.
Well, that's not inspirational. It's depressing.
So, I mean, obviously he's used that for his to woo his other half, maybe not for his team. So you should know this love we share was never made to die. I'm glad we're on this one-way street.
One-way street.
One-way street's weird.
Inescapable.
We live on a one-way street.
We've just got to stick together. There's nothing else.
It's a weird, you're right.
It's weird sentiment.
I'm never, maybe it says, I'm never going to treat you bad because I never want to see you sad. I swore to share your joy and your pain, and I swear it all over again. That's quite nice. But
yeah,
come on,
it's
I'm never going to treat you bad because I never want to see you sad.
I'm never going to treat you badly because I never want to see you.
Go on, sadly.
Sadly.
It goes on. Oh, there's loads. I'm never going to say goodbye because I never want to see you cry. I swore to you my love would remain, and I swear it all over again. That is nice.
We
Luke
want
Donald
to know which bit he used, because if he used the whole song, it would have bored her to death. And if he just used bits, I want to know which bits, and did she respond well to this?
Which Westlife song would you use to woo a lover? And which lyrics do you think Luke Donald, if you're listening, or indeed Mrs. Luke Donald, if you're listening, then get in touch with the show, tom@toasterpod.com. And if you could sort me out tickets for... the Ryder Cup next year, that would be ideal. The other thing as well, which I want to talk about from the Nicky Byrne episode, was the Man Shed. That featured prominently. Now, Nicky Byrne HQ is his podcast. It is really good because he gets fantastic guests on. Because, as he said, he lives near the airport, which is a niche podcasting tip. If you want good guests, move to Slough. That's basically what he's saying. Just get yourself near an airport and people can nip over and say hi. But the main thing that you can't see, I assume you haven't watched it on YouTube, where it is available.
No.
His man shed is absolutely incredible.
Did he say he painted it himself, which I found funny?
No, that's later on. That was the wall. So, I mean, that was a wonderful detail. So he painted the wall of the front of his house for the moment when Westlife reunited.
But I think he also painted the inside of his shed, he said.
Oh, did he?
And I just like the wall painting and the shed painting is just funny because I kind of assume as a pop star he'd get someone in to do that. But he obviously likes doing it himself.
Yes. Yes.
The wall painting was mad.
But the shed that he's created, and it is a man shed, is absolutely incredible. Now, part of it is obviously it's a stage, right? It's props for his podcast. But some of the things he's bought to put in the background of his shot, for example, something which we got to, the fake World Cup trophy. And I can see, if you look on my screen now, Beth.
Yes.
That is a screenshot of Nicky Byrne's order, right? Which I probably should delete. He spent £101, €120 buying...
Is that what it cost?
Yeah, buying a fake trophy.
And it was the exact same size, isn't it? And he doesn't let anyone touch it, apart from...
Who knows?
He said it was very rare that he would allow someone to touch it.
Yeah. It's huge.
I have
huge
questions about this. Why?
Yeah, good question. I think Speaking as someone who, I won a trophy on the weekend. I don't want to, we don't need to go into too much detail here, but I played in Alex Horn's charity football match at Chesham United. The chickens versus the eggs, team chicken for life, hashtag chickens for life.
Serious football.
Serious football. If you don't know anything about it, go and have a look at basically any comedian's socials, because everyone and his granny was there. Alex Horn's is probably the best to go and look at. But Alex Horn, being Alex Horn, he spices up the rules. So, for example, when Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus plays, three footballs are thrown on the pitch and the game continues.
Makes it much more fun.
It was really
They should
fun.
Do that with regular football.
If you get a yellow card, you have to wear a yellow swimming hat. If you get two yellow cards, you have to spend the rest of the game wearing a swimming, what's it called, like a band around your...
Rubber.
No, around the midriff swimming tyre thing. And there were loads of ridiculous rules. My favourite is Sit Down by James. As soon as that plays, everyone apart from the goalkeepers has to sit down.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who went to school in the 90s, that's muscle memory for me. I have to sit down if I hear that song.
What an act of defiance that is. The joy at the end was winning the trophy, right? Mm. And it was huge. Like, I cannot tell you.
Is that a thing to make your trophy really big? Is that a substitute of some kind? Listen,
as you well know, is something I need. The joy I felt lifting a stupid giant pineapple trophy was there's something primal about getting a massive item and holding it in the air. That's weird, isn't it?
But not to denigrate Nicky's experience, but you genuinely won that in the loosest possible sense.
Yes.
But he didn't win the World Cup.
Yeah, but this is what's interesting.
Why did he need a replica trophy?
I suggest to you that there is some sort of trophy therapy that people can do where they just buy themselves a trophy. And in your own company with no one else around, just hold it up as if you've won something. And imagine there's a crowd going...
Hold it aloft.
And hold a trophy aloft. You can see it on the video. He holds it up and he looks absolutely thrilled.
He sounded so happy.
Maybe this is the My Mate Bought a Toaster merch. We need to make some sort of toaster trophy. And everyone can just hold it aloft. I don't know how that works.
And it just says winner.
Winner, winner.
Winner of everything.
Yeah. It was, his eyes lit up when we got onto the trophy.
You could sense his glee.
Yes.
But it was weird.
It was quite weird. But it's an incredible thing to see the completeness of his man shed, all the things that he's got in the background. And I did think, I wonder if we're talking about gender stereotypes here, where a man feels the need to hold a trophy aloft? No, because there were lots of women on the chickens team who also, Maisie Adam, let me tell you, is as happy as I've ever seen her. So I don't think it's that. But the man shed I do feel is a man thing, obviously. And I do feel like this desire, and I've done it a bit here, the room we're sitting in right now, is we're surrounded by golf crap. And it makes me so happy. And this is my safe space away from you. And because you have a very clean, pure, you like things to look nice, where I just want to be able to see everything.
Yeah, you've got clutter everywhere. This triggers me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But I think I wonder if that's a blokey thing. I wonder what the comfort element is.
Are you going to buy yourself a little trophy? Little trophy for Tom.
It's actually a really good idea.
Golf trophy. What does the Masters, what do you win if you...
Well, I say, Greg, thank you. Got a lot of golf chat. That you win an item of clothing. You win the famous green jacket when you win
like
the Masters.
Oh, like in the Tour de France?
Yes, that's a yellow top. Yeah. I like it for sports when you win clothing.
Yeah, but you don't win a trophy. There's no trophy.
Not for the Masters, which is the best golfing thing to win. Hmm. Whereas the USPGA, which has just happened, of course you watched it with me on the weekend, the trophy is the size of a teenager.
I wonder if you can get a replica trophy of that. You could just order one, have it in the background.
I think the muscle memory of it would make you feel happy. I think holding it aloft would make you feel genuinely happy. So anyway, Nicky's man shed, you need to have a look at it. It's incredible and I'm jealous. And it makes me want to put more crap on the walls. There's neon lights everywhere. And Amazon is perfect for this. And if you haven't gone onto Amazon and had a look at fake trophies, because there's another fake trophy sidebar to this, which is... we know someone, this is many years ago now, so we can probably tell this story safely, whose kid didn't win at sports day. And I'm going to say dad because it was a dad, found out on Amazon, and I wonder if anyone else has done this, found on Amazon where he could buy the medals from. Do you remember this?
No.
he bought the trophies so that he could give his kids the identical. He found the trophies on Amazon.
I can't work out if that's really sweet or really wrong. It's both.
I think when your kid, because the kid at this stage was like 6 or 5, I think it's fine. I think you don't need life lessons when you're 5. You just need plaudits, don't you? You need to be lauded. But he did. He found out where you could buy the trophies. Have you ever bought a fake trophy on Amazon? Have you bought any sorts of trophies on Amazon? They pop up every now and again on shopping histories. If you have, get in touch with the show, tom@toasterpod.com. We're going to take a quick break for some products. And then in a moment, Beth, I want to talk more about Nikki Byrne. I want to talk about next week's episode. And we've had an email. Dun, dun, dun. Cut to ads.
I bought some books I never read. I bought a stuffed toy without a head. And some junk I'm much too bashful to explain. It's just that Amazon's too easy. Check your history, you'll be queasy. But my mate bought a toaster, and I swear he shares your pain. He shares your pain.
Hello, welcome back. This is My Mate Bought a Toaster, Toasted. I just knocked the microphone with my coffee cup, but I don't think anyone noticed.
You got away with it.
So we have had an email. Do you want to do the email now? Should we do that now?
I'm so excited. I'm on tenterhooks.
Now, we have had an email from a man called David. Bear with me, caller, while I have a little search around. Here we go. Hi, Tom. This email came just as we'd finished last series. So this is the first Toasted we've done since last
year. He's been waiting around for this reply.
Sorry, David. Hi, Tom. I enjoyed listening to your podcast with Anya Magliano. Now, we did a brilliant episode with Anya Magliano. She was really, really good.
She was great.
And then she went and got SNL UK. Are those things connected?
Well.
The silence means.
Someone was listening to the podcast.
Someone was listening to the podcast and thought she's amazing. She's really funny. So David.
Was it Lorne Michaels was listening to the podcast?
Hi, Lorne. Available. David says, I enjoyed listening to the podcast with Anya Magliano, mainly because I'm her dad. Nice. Isn't that nice?
Amazing.
Following her complaint. Now, this is a bit of a throwback. If you didn't listen to the Anya Magliano episode, she discussed the fact that her dad does the weirdest thing ever when ticking off, or not ticking off, a list of things to do, right? Mm. On a to-do list, what he would do would use boxes, and a box would indicate that he'd done the thing.
Not a tick.
Not a tick.
That's crazy behaviour. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Following Anya's complaint, I wanted to let you know, I have stopped, underline, using boxes for items on my to-do list, and I'm now using bullet points. Is that...
I mean, that...
But does the bullet point mean you've done it? If a bullet point is a way of demarcating here is a thing to do, that's fine. But you cannot use a bullet point to suggest it's been done. You just can't.
No, that a bullet point is the to-do list itself.
Yes.
And then you either strike through or tick. Or you could delete, but that's not satisfying because then
satisfying.
You can't see what you've done. So it's a strike through or a tick.
Did I tell
you, only acceptable.
Did I tell you about my new approach to to-do lists?
What, to do them?
Your eyes are already rolling back in your head because you're so... No, my new approach to to-do lists is to write down something to do when I've done it.
Yes.
So my list is blank. And then I'll be like, oh, I've just done that email about my tax
return. But then that makes
return.
It look like...
And then I write on my to-do list, so it's a done list. So I'll go, email to accountant, done. So then I feel more validated and it's less stressful.
But then I would be looking at that list thinking it was all things to do and it would make me anxious.
That's all things I've done. It doesn't work, by the way. I've stopped doing it, but it was quite fun for about a week. Anyway, David goes on. I'm now using bullet points. Evidence, if you need it, of the power of your podcast. It is a powerful thing,
yes.
David. I appreciate that. Perhaps you could let Anya know to save me the bother. Will do. I'm sorry you've not been in touch. Obviously, SNL UK has gone to her head. And I'm really sorry that there's a divide. If you'd like to, you know, I can offer this podcast as a way of doing parent-child counselling. I enjoy listening to you on magic. Oh, David, stop it.
No.
Oh, David, really?
Let's send David a trophy.
Yeah, yes.
Best dad.
Do you know what? I don't need a trophy because I've got David's email. I wish he was my dad. Warm wishes, and this dates the email somewhat, seasonal greetings. Thank you very much, David. that was lovely to hear from you. Thank you, David. I really appreciate that. We are open for business with emails. We love your emails. tom@toasterpod.com, whether it's something wild you have bought on Amazon, whether it is a niche product, or whatever, any of the stupid topics that we are forever bringing up on the show, tom@toasterpod.com. Let's get back to Nikki Byrne now, please, wife Beth Morrie. Any other points of order, please, on Nikki?
We're talking about him being mentally well adjusted, and he is.
Yeah.
But if he's got an Achilles heel, it's Louis Walsh.
He did a good impression of Louis Walsh.
He kept coming back to Louis Walsh, and he was very funny, but I think it irks him.
Okay.
His impression is great.
His impression of Louis. Shane was great today. Shane, it was just that Donald Trump intonation. Yeah. Shane was great. It was really interesting. And look, if you haven't seen the Boys, I think it's the Boyzone doc. It's on Now TV. If you haven't seen that and you're even slightly interested in the machinations of the boy band or girl band industry, I highly recommend you go and watch it, because Louis Walsh just made stuff up.
Yeah. But also it's interesting because you see all these people on television. Obviously, we all know Louis Walsh and Simon Cowell from seeing them on The X Factor. Mm. And I think it's really interesting because there's an element where you just assume it's all made up.
Mm.
In that they're not really music moguls. They're just sort of people who've been chosen.
Mm.
And then when you hear in the background, they were really doing that job. Simon Cowell was really doing that job.
The stools thing.
The stools, the standing up on the key change.
Simon Cowell went stand up on the key change. Iconic.
It's hilarious. And everyone cheered. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So funny.
It's so funny.
Cheered just for standing up. I feel like Nicky recognised the stupidity of it. Having done the sport thing, having been seriously good at football, to end up on the books at Leeds and goal, and the high pressure, seeing the cheers and the nonsense, I reckon he just finds he has a distance to it and just goes, this is ridiculous, isn't it?
But it also, I mean, it made Simon Cowell kind of look like a genius. I feel silly saying that.
No, I think a lot of people do recognise him as a genius. I think he's problematic in many ways. There's lots of things that have come out about him being a bit weird or whatever. But I think genius is reasonable.
He knew his stuff. And of course, they became synonymous with stools. And then Nicky ordered some stools on Amazon.
I know. I couldn't believe it. The first thing I saw was the stools for the rehearsals.
Iconic behaviour.
But it's amazing to think that you go, right, guys, we've got to rehearse. We've got to get in that studio. We've got to work out all our harmonies. We've got to work out our moves. Just get some stools. It's like, and they all sit down and go, right, and stand up. That's lunch, everyone. Good work, team. Love it. The other thing as well that's worth saying, whilst we're talking about boy bands, which is sort of becoming a theme this series of My Mate Bought a Toaster, Nicky Chapman, who of course managed the Spice Girls, she is very much coming on this podcast in the near future.
Ooh.
Yes. Now, I haven't interviewed her yet, because a lot of these I've already interviewed, but I haven't interviewed her yet. So if you have a question or a thing you might have heard about the story of the Spice Girls or Nicky's career or I think it was Pop Idol that she did, then I'd absolutely love to hear from you, tom@toasterpod.com, and I can run those questions by her, because Nicky, I've got to know her a bit through magic. She is one of the nicest people, but what's so fascinating about her, and indeed what I find interesting listening to Nicky Byrne talking about Louis Walsh, the steeliness and the decisiveness of these managers, and Nicky Chapman, my God in heaven, when she tells you a thing she did for the Spice Girls, it's like, yeah, so we did that. Like, it's, there's a fearlessness.
Yeah, that's what you need.
Total focus.
Oh, and also I hope that she's going to be a bit indiscreet about it. That would be fun if she spills the tea.
I'll make her spill the tea.
Spill the tea on Spice, as Nicky calls them.
Oh, my God.
That was so funny.
Yeah, I've got Spice on the line.
But it also reminded me of something that happened to us. When I used to work in television, we'd approached Meatloaf to do a show with us.
I love this story.
And
I love this story.
Yeah, I can't even remember what the show was. It was something like, you know, it was some sort of School of Rock type idea.
Yes.
And we approached Meatloaf to present the show.
Mm.
And his manager got back in touch. And the email said, Meat is on board.
Yeah.
They called him Meat.
Yeah.
For
meat.
Short.
Meat. Hi, it's Tim. I mean, it's just...
The diminutive of Meatloaf.
Is Meat. Does that mean his tax return was Mr. M. Loaf? And it's just... Absolutely brilliant.
It honestly, we were so delighted.
Meatloaf.
Crowded round a computer looking at the email. Meat! Meat is on board.
Meat is on board.
Meat and Spice.
Meat and Spice, it works perfectly together. So I found that really interesting, going through the boy band stuff, and Nicky was obviously very eloquent talking about it all. Any other business before we get to the bins? Because I do want to finish the...
We must finish on the bins. I just wanted to say I enjoyed the chat about thinking up Westlife's name.
Oh, yeah.
And West High.
Oh, no, West High. That's
yeah,
right.
No, West Side initially, but then that got rejected because of the American bands.
Yeah.
West High is a shocking name. That would have been shite.
But Nicky openly admits that's what he liked.
He was wrong.
That was highly enjoyable.
Yes.
Yes. West. So hang on. West Side was one of them.
Yes. And then West High or West Life.
Okay.
But West High as well, if they had a kind of clean image, didn't they? And high is not a good word.
No, I guess so. It just sounds high school-y to me. That's the way, straight away. It sounds like a school.
It was just bad.
Yeah, no, it was really interesting. And the bit when he described flyering outside the Boyzone concert, and Boyzone used to flyer outside the Take That concert.
Yeah.
And what's amazing now as well, this year, going into this summer, is all three of them, so Take That are doing the circus tour in Stadia around the country. Boyzone are, of course, playing the Emirates in North London. They are playing that for 3 days in June. And Westlife are doing a whole bunch of big stadium gigs as well. Like all three of them, by the way, have all been, now they're all at three. All the numbers are pretty much at three.
Yeah.
But
what I find quite moving is that they are kind of friends and they've stuck together. And the advice that they gave him for Eurovision was really touching.
It was lovely.
And good.
Yeah, I know.
And there is something quite moving after all the silliness of the whole business and what they've been through, that they can come back together, because it takes a lot to go on tour together and do all that.
You can really learn to hate each other.
Yeah. And the fact that they've stuck it out is quite cheering.
They came into Magic and we interviewed Kian and Shane and Nikki on Magic, and they're really funny. Like, honestly, and this, you may not think this because, again, Westlife have been packaged and presented as such a sort of gentle, getting up off a stool kind of band. They're the funniest band I've ever interviewed.
You kind of assume, and I did assume, that they're sort of packaged the personalities out of them.
That's right.
For a boy band because you're not allowed it. A bit like sportsmen.
Yes.
You know, automatons who say what the PR people tell them to say.
Yeah.
And so whenever they're personable and engaging and a bit indiscreet,
they're so indiscreet. They're so funny, and they just rip the S out of each other the whole time. They are constantly mocking each other in a really, I think, healthy, lovely way. So I'm a total convert. If you told me this 25 years ago, I'm a total convert to Westlife. How times move on? How we change? Look, before we finish today, and by the way, next week, Abby Clark will be the full-blooded, fully caffeinated episode. An episode which, by the way, you can grab on our Patreon right now, patreon.com/toasterpod. You can watch the Abby episode on there. It's £3 a month, and it really helps the show. It helps me to book guests. So if you can contribute, that is just the loveliest thing you can possibly do. Abby Clark next week. Before we leave Nikki Byrne behind, though, let's just have a look at the garbage bin. Sort of, how would you describe that, Beth? Because it's called like a... What's that word there? Gabion.
It's a bin palace.
It's like a sort of... carport.
It's like a
carport for bins. So it's sort of like a wall, a brick wall, and then a little opening that perfectly fits a big old biffer bin in. And then on the top, it's got a roof, which has got greenery growing out of it. And each of the bins is parked as if it was some sort of Ferrari inside that. It's £323.
I dream of buying something like this. It is the stuff of dreams.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Yes, it is.
It's so practical.
Yes.
Firstly, we haven't got the space for it outside. But as you know, I think our front garden is a bit shameless.
Yes, shameless in the sense of the TV show.
Yeah, it's just sort of full of stuff.
Currently, in our front garden, basketball hoop, bicycle.
At least three scooters.
Two or three scooters. Fishing rod.
Yeah.
A box full of footballs.
A base for a swing ball.
A base for a swing ball. My God, you're right.
And also,
our front garden is, I would say, 3 square feet big.
Exactly.
It's bad.
And it's really, really overgrown. And what I dream of is having the neatness and purity of that bin palace.
Yeah, it is. It is true. Because at the moment, our bin area is a fox's palace, I would say. But you did see a baby fox the other day.
Oh, it was so dear.
I heard you open the door and you put on your crazy sing-song voice.
Yeah.
You were literally singing to a...
I tried to give it dog food, but it ran away.
The thing is, you don't need to, because our front garden at the moment is all it requires.
Well, our front garden is a rat palace at the moment.
It's a rat palace. Yeah, we need to invest.
I want one of those bin...
Yeah. Yeah, they
storage
do look amazing.
Places.
It's £323. It does look incredible, but what a luxury. That is, I would say, in terms of the pop star lifestyle, that's the most Beckham-esque
yeah.
level of just pure indulgence mm-hmm. to have that for your bins.
Well done. Incredible.
Yeah, well done, Nikki. You know you've landed.
You've made it.
Yeah, big time, big time. All right, look, there you are. That's today's episode of Toasted. We've talked all things Nikki Byrne and bins. And don't forget, of course, tom@toastedpod.com. Do get in touch with the show if you have got any questions on any of the issues that we've raised, and crucially, any questions for Nikki Chapman, who's coming up soon. Beth Maureen next week, Abby Clark is on the show.
Mm.
It's a great episode. I'm going to put a little clip in now. Here we go.
I went to view a flat recently and I made the mistake of taking my dad, and they wanted my dad to move in.
Oh my God, you made a cake version of your teacher.
I know, what a swat.
Well, swat's one word. 50 Shades Freed, 50 Shades Darker, 50 Shades of Grey. 50 Shades Darker. You bought all of
Wait,
the...
Wait, what's the third one called?
50 Shades of Grey is the first one.
Oh.
50 Shades Darker, 50 Shades Freed.
She's free at the end.
Well, that's nice, isn't it?
That is yes. nice.
She
that's
finally
nice
got the
trajectory.
Right safety word, and she got out of there. The Great Wall Boyfriend Pillow.
Yes.
Pillow shaped like a boyfriend.
I thought it would be funny.
It's just a lovely arm that goes...
Do you know what's the most tragic thing about that?
Go on.
Never turned up.
Wow. Oh my God. So that is Abby, who is on the way next week. You need to listen, for there's several things in there which you're going to love.
Can't wait.
Yes, it's very good stuff. All right, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week for Abby Clark. All the best, kind regards, lots of love.
It's my mate, oh, toaster. Oh, it's my mate.